Hello everyone, welcome back to my podcast. I hope you've had a wonderful week. It is Monday the 25th of March today. I'm recording the podcast super early in the week. I mean, last week's podcast came out yesterday, so this is a bit weird for me, but I have such an insane week. Like, it's absolutely crazy how busy my week is. Tomorrow I'm going to a nutrition conference in Aberdeen, which will 100% be mental, as I help organise some of the parts, very, very small parts, of the Nutrition Society conferences in Scotland, because I'm like a volunteer rep for like the Scottish section of it. So I do play a role like within the day and stuff and helping out, so which is always really good because I get to go to the conference for free and I get to everything paid for, which is fantastic because conferences are usually quite expensive, and I would definitely not be going to as many as I do if I didn't have that, which I'm super grateful for, and I like to be involved in it. It's really fun, and it's on a really interesting nutrition topic as well. It's about circadian rhythms and health. So I do have an infographic coming this week about that, because everything I've learned from the conference I want to put into a little infographic for you guys, and share the knowledge of the conference, because it's always really, really interesting hearing different perspectives on that topic as well. Usually I kind of present at these conferences because they have like a PhD / postgrad research elements to them, but it's not really that related to my topic, so I didn't go for it this year, but we'll see. I think next year it's actually going to be, the conference is going to be where I live, so that's going to be super cool, and I'm going to get to just walk down, which would be amazing. But anyway, so I'm doing that over Tuesday and Wednesday and staying over in Aberdeen tomorrow night, and then I've got an award ceremony on Friday night, and then I'm going to London over the weekend with my family, so it's just like an insane weekend. I have absolutely no time to do anything or record the podcast, so today I'm in on campus, so I thought it would be a great time to film it, record it. So as well, it's also a super chatty episode today. I am talking about my PhD, and I am pretty much bang on halfway through my PhD now, if it's 3 years. So I'm currently at 1 year and 6 months into my PhD, which is absolutely insane. It's such an insane concept to just think about, and it's absolutely mental how fast it's gone, not going to lie to you. It feels like it is just flown in. And I wanted to update you guys a little bit about where I'm at with it and what's next, and kind of a couple things that I've learned by getting this far in this journey. And it's been a ride. It's been a wild ride so far, and it's been a lot of learning curves, a lot of great opportunities, and I'm excited for the final year and a half. But who knows? It might take another year. It might be 4 years of this PhD, but from the sound of it, I don't think I'm going to let it get to 4 years if I can help it. Not because I don't love my PhD, it's just that I am doing it self-funded, and I'm doing 3 jobs alongside my PhD, which I actually quite enjoy. And everyone, I was talking to Jacob about this the other day, and I was saying to him, I was like, people think that this looks much more mental than it is. And if you think about all the things I do, yeah, like, it does sound pretty crazy, but if you actually lived a day of my life, I think you'd find it be much more manageable than it sounds. So I don't want you to walk away thinking that I'm just like mental or something, because I'm not. I think it just sounds way worse than it actually is. But I actually think that doing my PhD as a self-funded PhD and having 3 jobs has actually been much more suited to me than a fully funded PhD. And that sounds mental, and I'm sure if I had funding, I wouldn't be saying that, because, you know, it'd be great to be paid to do your PhD. But I get to do a lot of other jobs that I really enjoy and that are really supportive, and I get to do lots of other things and be a part in lots of other things, which I've really enjoyed, and I really enjoy doing that as well. I don't want to be getting paid for my PhD and then, you know, feel bad about spending time doing my podcast or spending time doing YouTube or whatever it may be, you know. And I also don't think, I think if I was funded, I think I would be doing kind of 9 to 5 Monday to Friday on just PhD work, which I think I wouldn't, like, I'd feel bad about putting in time for other things, and I would also have an external person or a group of people to answer to when it came to my progress and things like that. And I've said it before, but that's a massive benefit of doing a self-funded PhD, is that it's completely from you. And not that many people can say that when they do a PhD, because it's a lot about what their funders want or what external people want, instead of your own vision and your own likes and dislikes when it comes to certain different research. But I don't know, that people's other experiences doing like funded PhDs might be completely different, and I'm just making assumptions. But I'm rambling on. I've got six things that I've learned, or that I think I've learned from halfway through my PhD, and I'm also going to update you guys on what I've been up to in my PhD and where I'm at, because I know people ask me all the time, like, have you got results yet? People ask me that all the time. And I'm like, no, I don't have any results. I don't mean that. I kind of do, but I kind of don't. I mean, the nature of my studies have been different to that. So yeah, I'll talk about that in a little bit, but I would like to show you six things that I've learned in the first half of my PhD. I'm going to jump to the second point, because the first point is probably the biggest thing that I've had to overcome, as well as just learn. But the second thing is, time is going too fast. And I think, like, I like to make progress, I like to be making progress. And I think in my first year of my PhD, everything moved really quickly, like, and I seem to have, like, lots of things done really quickly. And in this first kind of 6 months, it just feels like everything has been going really slowly in progress, but everything in time is just running away from me. Like, basically in the first 6 months of this year, so my second year, it's been like really, really like looking at things in really specific detail and trying to find out specific things. Like, I'll give you an example. I'm basically looking at different things. I don't want to say too much in case people watch this are going to do some of my studies, because that would ruin it. But basically there's this equipment that I have, and I have to figure out if a filter goes on to this equipment, right? And I have to look at all the literature, try and figure out if everyone else has used this filter. And then I need to do like a little test to figure out if the filter is actually what we need. Like, and this is like a minute detail of this experiment, and I've been focusing on this for weeks, and it's like you finally find progress with it, and then you unleash another part of it that needs looked at. And what's so difficult about the practical element of this PhD, and probably most PhDs, is that you have to be an expert in absolutely every part of your experiment. So say in my viva, which is what you do at the end, it's like your final exam, they said to me, why did you put that filter on it? And my answer was like, I don't know, because other research did that, and, you know, that's just what's done. Like, that's not good enough. Like, I need to know every minute detail of every part of the experiment, and I have to justify in great detail why I did everything that I did. And that is exhausting, because you have to exhaust every detail to make sure that you understand why it's happening. And also, if someone asked you a question on it, you need to be 100% sure that you did the right thing there, and you also did this, and you backed it up with this. And the likelihood is that someone isn't going to ask you something so specific about your methodology like that in your viva, but they could, and that is the whole point of it, is that you have a justification for absolutely everything you did. Like, it's not good enough to just be like, well, everyone else did that, so I'm going to do that. So that's been what last 6 months has looked like in my PhD, is trying to figure these little tiny details out. Like, because, I mean, essentially, if I ran this experiment without this filter on and it needed to be on, technically all of my results would have been null and void if I hadn't put this filter on, or if I didn't do it, or if someone looked at my research like in a year and like, well, they didn't even put a filter on it, so it's probably not even useful. You know, like, it's insane. And these tiny little details matter, which really does make time go crazy fast, and you're making like really small progress on a big massive thing that you have to do. And that's kind of the thing in this, is that PhDs, I think people always look at them like, oh my god, 4 years, like, that's a whole nother undergraduate degree, but times 100, like on an undergraduate degree on steroids. And that's the problem, is that you end up kind of getting to the point where it's going so fast that it doesn't even feel like you're doing another 3 to 4 years, which is insane because, I mean, if you embark on the journey, I'm sure by the time I'm finished, this PhD is going to feel like such forever amount of time that I've been doing it. But right now, halfway through doesn't feel like a very long time. But yeah, that's point number two. Point number one is probably the biggest hurdle I've had to overcome, and I still am not good at it, is defending myself and defending the justifications to like people that are in the field or people that are also researchers. I find it so difficult to do, and I think I'm getting better at it, but in my first annual progression review, which was 6 months ago, no, maybe not a wee bit longer than that, probably November, 6 months ago. Oh my god, I think it's been longer than 6 months then. Yeah, I think this is in April, it'll be 7 months, so yeah, I'm well into 6 months, Jesus. Anyway, so defending myself. In my annual progression review, that was one of my feedbacks from my supervisor, who wasn't basically the formal feedback, but he kind of said, you know, you had good arguments, but you need to learn to defend yourself much more and, you know, get angry and not angry, but, you know, just be very, I don't know, it's hard to describe, just defend why you did what you did in a very, you know, thought out way. I don't know how to describe that. But I found that incredibly difficult because I am young, you know, I'm 23, and when I was doing my annual progression review, I was 22. And basically I had three maybe 50-year-old men saying to me, you know, why did you do this? Why did you do that? And I'm like, I did it because of this reason, but of course, you know, that's also important to think about. And I think my supervisor wanted me to be a bit more violent with my defences, but it's such a hard thing to do. And I think it does come from that perception of being young. And like, I'm talking to a room full of very experienced researchers, and yeah, they aren't in my exact field, but they might have very valuable points that I think is worth exploring. And I find it really hard to be aggressively defending my research in that way. I don't necessarily think that's the answer, to be so aggressive about it. I think it is about taking people's points on board. But if you are in the academic world, you probably know what I'm talking about. People that have done PhDs or people that are researchers seem to have this really aggressive way of fighting for the research, which of course is important. But I always think we can learn from other people. But I think I have gone a little bit better as the PhD has gone on to defend what I think and how it's important. And yeah, that's been a curve to learn when you're 23 and is quite young to be so set in your opinions, which is something I've been working on. And I definitely don't think I'm there yet. I think it's really hard. I found it really hard to do. But I'm sure most people do. But I don't know, maybe people that with a little bit more life experience find that much easier to do. But yeah, that's something I've been learning. It's probably not something I've figured out yet, 100% not. Another thing that I've learned is, in a PhD anyway, you don't have to work a typical schedule, and especially with three jobs, I'm trying to be kind to myself with this. I've really learned to be kind to myself, because with this ideology that, you know, you need to work 50 hours a week on a PhD and work 9 to 5 or 8 to 6 every day, you know, not take breaks, all of that, it's just not, does not work for me. Like, it does not work. And I also work three jobs, so technically I should be doing more or spending more time working on my PhD because I don't have as much time as someone who's getting funded. But for me, like, that just does not work. Like, I need to have rest, and I need to have time to, you know, do things that I love and have, you know, enjoyable life as well. And it doesn't work for me to do that. And I think I work quite well in short periods of time, so I think I can get quite a lot done in a short period that maybe takes other people longer, I don't know. But I seem to be managing okay with the amount of hours that I'm doing. I'm not really sure how much hours I'm doing. I probably work more than I think I do. But I always feel like I could be doing more, and I've tried to learn that lesson that, you know, working 9 to 5 or, you know, 8 to 6 is not necessarily what's going to work for me, and that's okay. Especially when I work at the gym, I work till 9 o'clock at night. So if I started at 8 in the morning, like, it's a long, long day between 8 or 9 to 9 o'clock at night, well, that's 12 hours. So I always try to give myself a little bit grace when those days when I'm working late, because of course, like, having to get up really early and working solidly until at night is just going to take a toll on you, on your health, on your mental health, but also on the next day and what you're feeling capable of doing the next day. So I tried to be a little bit smart with it, and I had to learn that lesson as well over this year and a half, is that, like, it's okay, like, to get up a little bit later when you're doing a PhD because it's going to support you, or if you're working late, just to get up at 9 or, you know, whatever, have a chill morning, have a slow morning. And I've learned that the hard way as well. But I think that can be easily applied to other jobs as well. If you have flexibility over your time, it's okay, or even not any of that, it's just okay to give yourself grace. You don't have to work in a super productive way all the time to get things done. You also don't need to be insanely productive within the hours in which people are productive in. I think learning that it looks a little bit different depending on what you are doing and who you are and what you enjoy, and that's completely and utterly okay. I think that's something I've tried to learn, and I think I'm getting there with that one. Number 5 is communication is so important, and I do think I've always appreciated this, but just being so honest and open about your communication, what you want, what you need from people, has been so important, and it is a lesson that's difficult to do. And what I mean by this is, you know, with the people that are important, with your PhD or with, you know, your job or whatever it may be, just being honest about what you want and what you need to do is really important. And, like, it just is what it is. Communication in general in any relationship is so vital, but I always find that you can just skip all of the unnecessary problems if you just go straight to communicating the way and what you need. And that's, like, it's a little bit of a hard lesson to learn as well. And I do struggle with it depending on what type of communication is needed from me and on what topic. And I'm sure I could still get massively better with communication because it's just such a difficult thing to manage. But yeah, that's always so important. And then another 2 I've got for you is, one is, reading studies really is that important. And if you listen to my goals this year, you'll know that it is one of my goals to read as much studies as possible. Because for me, you know, learning about what's in the literature, especially with this specific study I'm doing just now, it's a whole new methodology that I'm not used to. So I've been reading lots of studies that have done the exact same thing in the same way, / slightly different, but with the same methodology. And that's really helped me with writing out and understanding what I'm doing, and also making sure I'm not missing anything. And yes, like, I know reading studies takes so long, and trust me, like, I've always just been like, oh my god, it takes so long, I'll just read the abstract and, you know, whatever, see if it works. And that's just not going to work. Like, I don't think you need to read all studies in its entirety. I don't think that's important. But some studies you just need to read back to front. And I've learned that lesson the hard way. And recently I've just been reading so many papers around this one methodology, and there's a lot of repetition, but it's allowed me to really make a good methodology, also write it up really well, and also not miss anything that's super important. So that has been absolutely vital when it comes to learning something new and making sure you're not missing anything, doing it right. And that's been really important for me to do. And kind of the last thing, I'm sure I've learned like 600 things more than this, but this is kind of what's coming to mind at this current time. It's also a full moon today, by the way, so who knows, maybe I'm saying something because of the full moon. Anyway, so the 6th one is, public speaking practice and presentations is necessary. And this is a brutal lesson to learn. I know it's just so rubbish. No one likes giving presentations. No one likes public speaking and all of that. But I really have tried in this first year and a half to throw myself at presentations and public speaking as much as I can, because it is just such a difficult skill to learn, and it's such a difficult thing to master and prevent you from feeling so anxious and stressed out about it. But I've just learned that it's going to be something that's going to be a part of my PhD and a part of my future work, and I need to get good at it. And to be good at it will make a big difference in my life and also my employability and what I'm able to do. So I've been trying my hardest to put myself up for as many presentations as humanly possible. And to be honest, it's been really, really good, because actually one best presentation a couple months back in a conference, and I also gave a presentation on my podcast. I did that. I did lots of other presentations. And yeah, it prevents you from the dread of, oh my God, I need to do a presentation. I've not done one in ages. It prevents that dread of it. And I know that it's necessary as part of my PhD, as part of my career. So I might as well just throw myself at everything possible, so that when it comes to these things, when it comes to these really big, important presentations, for instance, your Viva, like, you're going to have been well-versed and had lots of practice. And that's a rough lesson to come to terms with. It's a rough lesson to keep putting yourself forward for. I've actually put myself up for two different things. To be fair, one is really, really cool. It's basically like women in research, and they're holding a whole day for presentations within women in research and what they're up to. And it's like a really cool thing. I think it's happening in June. I need to get my abstract in for that. And also a thing within the university. They're also doing like a little 3-minute presentation thing as well. So, and it's really easy for me to, you know, just to look at that and be like, oh no, I'm not doing that. But it's also just really, really important skills and practice. And I just try to throw myself into that, which is just, it's a rubbish lesson to come to terms with. It so is. But yeah, I'm doing it anyway, because it's so, oh my God, presentations are so hard, and we all know they're hard, and just throwing yourself into it makes the difference when it comes to feeling anxious and actually doing it when you have to do one, and when it matters as well. You know, it's okay if you just do a random presentation and you blow it and it's whatever, but when it comes to something that's really important, if you've had lots of experience, then it's okay. But that's kind of the things that are coming to mind when it's half the way through the PhD. I wonder where I'll be in a year and a half's time. Will I be finished? Will I be coming up for my Viva? Oh my God, that's horrific thought. That is such horrific thought. I'm so scared. I think I'm gonna roughly enjoy writing my thesis. So I can't even remember how many words a thesis is. It's ridiculous. I can't remember for the life of me how many words, but I remember it's like 350 pages or something stupid like that. And I think I'm not gonna mind that when it comes down to it. But when it comes down to the Viva, I think I'm going to be so scared, because it just, oh my God, ugh. But I'm sure I'll be ready for it at that point, hopefully, but we'll see what happens. But that's coming in the future. But what's happening right now is actually really weird, because I had a meeting today with my supervisors about the kind of where my PhD is going in the next steps. And it looks like it's taking a little bit of a different, not different turn, just a different focus in a positive way, which I'm feeling good about. I actually did, my first experiment was a questionnaire. Basically, I validated and created a questionnaire all about sugar consumption, which has been so vital and it's so needed in the field. So I think we're focusing a little bit more on that now, and also doing another study alongside it with something to do with muscles. I don't want to talk too much about that, because it might ruin it if anyone listening to this is doing my study. But yeah, so right now, what am I up to? I am really looking into the questionnaire, trying to make sure we have it perfectly spot on. I'm going to do like some calculations for a population size and try and get it out to people to do. And along with that, I'm also working on the methodology for this study to do with muscles and how that's going to work. And it has so many intricate details, like I was saying, that just need ironed out and perfected, which is taking time. But meantime, I'm just reading so many studies, trying to figure everything out. Oh my God, it's overwhelming to even think about. But on Friday last week, I just got so many emails out. I was like firing emails out, getting everything finished off. But it was unfortunately Friday night and I was sending everyone emails. I don't know if they were too happy with me. But what can I do? I work 3 jobs. One of them I work late. I had to get things done. I just had to do it. Anyway, blabbing on. Wish me luck for the next year and a half my PhD, because God knows I need it. I hope you guys, if you're in uni or if you're in a job or whatever you're doing, I hope that this was interesting to you, slash maybe you relate in some way to these things that I've learned the hard way over a year and a half. Wish me luck, I'm going to Aberdeen tomorrow conference, which will be fun. And I'll tell you all about what we're doing in London and all of that next week. I'm going to have a chatty podcast with you guys next week about London and the conferences and all of that. It'll be nice to catch up with you guys. But apart from that, I'm just blabbing on about this PhD. Now I'm going to go to the gym and do a workout, and then I'm going to work for till 9 tonight. And then, yeah, I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. By the time this reaches you, I will be in London when this comes out, so that'll be super fun, and I'm really excited about it. Actually, it'll be really fun. But yes, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. Please do give it a, I always want to say give it a like. You cannot like podcasts. You know what you can do? You can rate this podcast. That would be amazing. You can give it a rate on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I know a couple of people have rated the podcast already, which is amazing, but it really helps me out if you do. Also, make sure you're subscribed to my YouTube channel. Check out those videos over there. Actually been doing not too bad, saying that the last video posted didn't do that well, but oh well. And yes, and also follow along for the podcast too, so you get notifications when I post anything, but you know when it comes out anyway, Sunday at 10. Yes, I hope you guys love this podcast. I am so grateful for you to listen to this episode, and I will speak to you all next week. Bye.